So not a lot of commentary is needed if we were listening to the lengthy, very lengthy amount of scripture that we've heard. But of course, we all have 60-second attention span, so we weren't listening. Two things. First of all, the church is very clear and wants us to remember that God had planned this, intended it, prepared the way through prophetic word. We don't need anything else but this very lovely passage from Isaiah. Wounded for our transgressions, gave his life for the sins of many, etc., etc. I mean, it's quite a profound statement in the Jewish scriptures. Psalm 22, again, extraordinarily powerful. I'm not a worm. I'm not a man, but a worm, says Jesus. We know the gospel tells us that he says on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? We know that the Psalms were the prayers of God's people for centuries and centuries, that many people throughout the centuries, both before Jesus and after Jesus, had the prayers, the Psalms memorized. They knew it by heart. They knew it in their heart. And they could pray, recite the psalm. And presumably that's what Jesus did. Conscious, of course, as he was, that he was fulfilling the purpose and intent of God, a plan that had been pre-conceived in God's heart and mind before the foundations of the earth. And Jesus, observing all that's going on, sees how fitting Psalm 22 is, including that happy part at the end where the prosperity of Jesus, those children of Jesus, of course not literal, but us and the countless others who know God through Jesus, this is his posterity. And he recites all of this, going through it as a prayer, and also wrestles with it. So that's the first thing. The second thing is this, and I know, I don't know why this happens. I know it does happen. So I was raised in a Christian home. None of this information is new, never has been new. As soon as I was able to say mommy and daddy, I knew that Jesus had died for my sins, more or less. Like, this is just, there's nothing new about this. So that it's very easy to miss what's going on. So the church, as it began to reflect on this, and our Orthodox brothers and sisters do this really well. They sing these songs that say something like this: the one who created trees is now hung on a tree. Like, this is this absurd thing that we celebrate. This isn't a man, a good man. This is God himself, who has suffered himself to be crucified, sacrificed by his own creation. It's really bananas. It really is. It just doesn't make sense. It doesn't register. So that's another thing that I think we need to think about. First of all, we need to think about how this is not some sort of afterthought. And again, as Christians have reflected on this, they've said, they call Adam's sin a happy fault. Because if Adam hadn't sinned, we wouldn't know this great love. We wouldn't have a God who had died for us if there had been no sin. And it's this really weird thing, because we know sin is bad, and we live through that. It's not a pleasant thing. I think paradise would be much preferable, actually. But yet, there's this thing that we understand now that probably couldn't have happened any other way. And we need this invitation to reflect on how both. This is the fulfillment of God's intent and purpose, and that when we say this is God's intent and purpose, we realize that we have no ability to really understand that. And I'm sorry that you've known this for so long, perhaps since you too were a toddler, that you're unable to know how crazily profound this is, how stupidly absurd this is. It just doesn't make sense. And if it makes sense to you, I'm going to call you to repent. Very God of very God hangs helpless, life poured out, so that you and I, and countless all throughout the centuries, might come and receive. What do we receive? Forgiveness. Are you carrying a weight today? I'm going to be the altar call guy. Are you carrying a weight today? Is there a heavy burden? Come and lay it down at the foot of the cross. It's true. He offers healing, restoration. He offers the reversal of time. God's outside of time. There's that promise in Hosea that he will restore the years that the locusts stole. I cling to that promise. I got lots of those years back there. Restoration, wholeness, healing, forgiveness, renewal, transformation, a healing of memories, a healing of will and purpose and intent, a healing of that dignity that's ours as created in the image of God that we have lost and smeared and besmirched and trampled on. Look around the world. Created in the image of God is this world of humanity, and what is it doing? It gets worse every day. And that's not the final answer. The final answer is this. God of God gives himself so that we might enter restored and anew into the dignity of the children of God. I don't know, dignity might not scratch your itch. Maybe it's joy. Maybe it's freedom. Another big one. Let's be honest. How free are we? You think you're free? What about when your child comes up and pushes that little button? Or a good friend or a spouse. And you're like, bang, react. You're like, that's crazy. I hate that. Why do I do that? How free are you? When we forget how crazily stupid and how profound and how absurd this is, we forget how powerful it is. Let's not do that today. If God of God, very God of very God, gave his life on our behalf, it was probably for something maybe a little more than we currently experience. And let's say yes to that possibility.